Beloved on today, amen, hallelujah. We welcome you to Sunday school, amen, hallelujah. And we thank God for this time that we can come together hallelujah. And gather in his name, that we may learn of him. This is Cornerstone Deliverance Church, and we are located at 323 Post Avenue in Westbury, New York. And our website is www.cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com. Amen. And so we welcome you to Sunday school. Let us just give God our undivided attention as he used, amen, the teacher of the hour, the woman of God, for his glory. Amen. Beloved, listen, purposely bring your faith or come for the purpose of your faith being built. Amen. Hallelujah. Your faith being increased, my God. Amen. That's what we need. We need increased faith in God's word. Amen. So whatever it is that is being taught today through the word of God by way of the Spirit, amen, let your faith be activated. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us grow, amen, spiritually, amen, from what is being fed to us today. Praise God. And so I'm going to release the line to Prophetess Margaret Cavanaugh of Kingdom Living Fellowship. Amen. And hallelujah, she's in Midway, Georgia, praise God. And we thank God for the woman of God being present, amen, my own daughter, amen. And I thank God for her, amen, my spiritual daughter, praise God, amen. So we're just going to, let us just, amen, praise God as she come. Hallelujah. Oh, glory
hallelujah.
To God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I release the life
hallelujah,
of the woman of God.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We just thank the Lord today for bringing us all on one accord in his presence in the midst of him this morning. Hallelujah. For him to open up our understanding, glory to God, plant this seed. Hallelujah. That the word at 1 o'clock will water. We just thank God for this time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us go quickly before the Lord in prayer. Oh, most heavenly gracious Father, we thank you this morning, God, for allowing us to come in your presence. We thank you this morning for the gift of salvation today. We thank you for being the light of the world. We thank you for being the bread of life today. Now, Lord, we ask that you will continue to open up our understanding, continue to show us, to teach us to be hearers of your word and doers of your word, Lord God. We thank you right now that you will continue to keep each and every one of us humble, Lord God. Decrease Maggie, Lord, where they will hear the voice of God this morning. Lord, we ask that you will continue to keep the members, the leaders of Camp Cornerstone, Lord God, and all of the ministries attached, and each person that will hear this message. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just thanking the Lord this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This word, hallelujah, glory to God. It was a very hallelujah, glory to God, eye-opening word this morning for that the Lord showed me some more things in this word. Glory to God, about the light of the world. The topic is Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And the word this morning is coming from John, the 8th chapter. John, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read out of the Contemporary English Version. Hallelujah. Amen. To break this down just a little more easier this morning. I thank God for my pastor, my overseer, my spiritual mother. Hallelujah. Apostle Asia, Lord God, I thank God for each and everyone that's on the line this morning. I'm just grateful to be in his presence again. Hallelujah. I thank God for him just seeing something inside of me to want to use me. And what he saw inside of me is him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ain't got nothing to do with Maggie. It's him. Amen. So I thank God this Amen. Morning. The word this morning comes from John 8. We're going to begin at verse 12. And what I begin to see in the book of John is how this word spoke so highly. The word showed two types of believers. We had the Pharisees And we had the believers, hallelujah, the followers of Christ, the disciples. So we had the Pharisees and the followers of Christ, the disciples. And the Pharisees were the ones that you, they said that they believed in the law, they believed in the word of God. But what I found is that these Pharisees used the word of God against the word, glory to God. And that thing, it really did something to me. The word Pharisees means separated ones. Separated ones, this word today, this lesson today is reflecting. We have to reflect this thing and apply it to make sure that we're not falling. We're not what we see in the word. What they did is we're not walking in that now. We're not falling into that. Amen. But
amen.
They were followers of the word, but they were against the word. Separated ones. Proud opponents of Jesus, hypocritical, self-righteous. They felt as if they were pleasing God because they kept parts of the law but failed to measure up to God's standards of holiness because they did not place their trust in Christ, Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Being able to follow the law and follow out the word, hallelujah, but not believe in it, not to trust in it, not to walk in a standard of holiness. And I'm not talking about a look, but I'm talking about trusting in God, putting your faith completely in him. So the word reads, once again, Jesus spoke to the people. This time he said, I am the light. Now, what I found in the book of John, we find out that Jesus is essential. He is the only essential worker. He is the only essential thing that is needed, the crucial, absolutely necessary, extremely important thing. He is compared to water. He is compared to bread. He is now being compared to light. Something that makes vision possible, something that makes things visible that once were invisible. Glory to God.
Amen.
So the word says, I am the light. I am the visible that causes the invisible to see, basically. Follow me and you won't be walking in the dark. You won't be walking in the invisible. But you will have the light that gives life. You will have the visible vision that gives life. The Pharisees objected. Here they go with their rejection. You are the only one speaking for yourself. And what you say isn't true. Glory to God. Now, we find in this is that this is where they begin the woman. They begin to accuse the woman of. They see her sin. Glory to God. The religious ones now, the priest. They begin to object and reject the word. But yet still, they say they are using and walking and saying they believe in the word. But now that you find that they begin to reject Christ. You are the only one speaking for yourself. What you say isn't true. Jesus replied, even if I do speak for myself, what I say is true. Now, they're battling with the word. Glory to God. Do you ever find yourself in a battle with the word of God? Do you ever find yourself battling with what Jesus is saying is true, glory to God. Do you ever find yourself questioning who he is, what, when, how, where, when it's going to take place? Lord, how are you going to do it, glory to God? Do you ever find yourself questioning the Christ? I know where I come from and where I'm going. This is what Jesus is telling us this morning. I know where I come from and where I'm going, but you don't know where I am from or where I am going. You judge in the same way that anyone else does, but I don't judge anyone. If I did judge, I would judge fairly because I would not be doing it alone. Basically, he's telling these people, y'all still trying to think I'm just this average man. Glory to God. You think that I'm just this common man. Glory to God. But yes, still I'm letting you know that I'm not doing this thing alone. That my Father has sent me. The Father who sent me is here with me. Amen. Your law requires two witnesses to prove that something is true. This what the work. This what they believe now. But I am one of my witnesses, and my Father who sent me is the other. Not realizing all alone, glory to God, who he really was.
My
glory
God.
To God. They trying to put the word against the word, glory to God. And I'm going to tell you, in a moment of transparency, I have found myself where I've used the word of God against the word of God, against Christ, glory to God. I've used the word against him. Well, God, you said you were going to do this, and you said you were going to do that. But in reality, walking in unbelief and doubt, walking like a Pharisee,
my God.
A hypocrite, an opponent, one that is separated from the word of God.
My God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. But Jesus came to bring them this light because, see, they were in darkness. He came to make this thing plain for them. He came to show them and show us today that we cannot rely on this earthly vision that we think is light. You know, there's organizations and groups that say they walk in the light, but the real light is Christ that makes vision possible, that makes things that are unseen seen, glory to God. So in the word, he says, you judge in the same way. Your law requires two witnesses, he's telling. But I am one of the witnesses. You don't want to believe me, but I'm one of the witnesses, and my Father is the one who sent me is the other. Where is your Father, they ask. Have you ever questioned Christ and said, where? You don't know me or my Father, Jesus answered. If you know me, you would know my Father. Jesus said this while he was teaching in the place where the temple treasures were stored. So they were in the house of God and still not in the house of God. But no one arrested him because his time had not come yet. Jesus also told them, I am going away and you will look for me, but you cannot go where I am going. You will die with your sins unforgiven. The Jewish leaders asked, does he intend to kill himself? Now, they talking to the Messiah. Is that what he means by saying we cannot go where he is going? They got this top level of they got this spiritual, they nothing spiritual about them. They walking in this earthly mess that they consider to be spiritual. But in reality, they not seeing or hearing what he's saying. Jesus answered, you are from below, but I am from above. You belong to this world, but I don't. This is why I said you will die with your sins unforgiven. If you don't have faith, if you don't have trust, if you don't have belief in me, for I am, for who I am. This is him saying, I am, one of the many sayings that he says in the book of John. You will die and your sins will not be forgiven. Who are you? They asked Jesus. Now, these are the ones that are preaching and teaching, but they yet still are asking, who are you? Jesus answered, says, I'm exactly who I told you at the beginning. There is a lot more I could say to condemn you, but the one who sent me is truthful, and I tell the people of this world only what I have heard from him. No one understands that Jesus was talking to them about the Father. Glory to God. The lesson title is Jesus, the Light of the World. Glory to God. So our facts today is what we're aiming today is to learn what it means that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus is the vision in the darkness, that Jesus is making, he makes it plain and invisible and seeable in this dark world. Principles, As believers, we have the light of Jesus to guide and sustain us in our daily lives. We can't be the light that this world depicts and shows us to draw us to Him is not to make us think that we can see is not the light of Christ. It will not lead and guide us and sustain us in our daily lives. That's why you hear and you read and you see where if a pastor falls out of love with Christ and or he backslides or she backslides, then the whole church do it because they're following a light that is not guiding them or leading or sustaining them in their daily life. They're following something that ain't Christ, glory to God. So he wanted to show these people, y'all are teaching and preaching. You go into church every Sunday, but yet still you don't know me. The Lord has me on a journey for me to unlearn everything that I have learned that is not like Christ. For me not to walk like a Pharisee, one that is separated from the love of God, one that questioned the counsel of God. One that is not directed. He begins to tell him. He says, Jesus' counsel is not directing them to the woman that was accused. They were focused on her, but Jesus was rather focused on the accusers. He wanted them. They were in his statement. Jesus is telling the scribes and the Pharisees that they are walking in darkness, but he came to shed the light of the gospel on a world that was formed, that was sealed in darkness. He came to pull us up out of that thing. See, he wants us to unlearn this pattern of behavior that we think is guiding and leading us to him. Glory to God. It's a form of godliness. It's a form of holiness. They had a form. They were ready to stone the woman. They had a form of it. They thought they were pleasing God by quoting scriptures. They thought they were pleasing God by keeping part of the law. They thought they were walking in holiness, but they failed to measure up to the standard of God's holiness. Walking in love and walking in truth, walking in faith and believing in the one that was sent. Do we ever find ourselves falling in this category of a Pharisee? I went back this morning, Apostle sent out a devotion. And in the devotion, it began to talk about for us to be grateful for our pain. Because the title was Pain Becomes the Fragrance of Love. It takes us into a deeper love of Christ. It is the same way with what Jesus was trying to show them that we must live up to this standard. We're gonna go through things. We're gonna hurt. We're gonna go through things. We're gonna fall short many days. We're gonna stumble. We may even struggle, but yet still we are still His children. We must not be arrogant and think that we got it all together. But we must be thankful that the grace of God allows us from falling and staying fallen. Glory to God. It allows us from not to stay stumbling and tripping up on the same things. But the grace of God, the pain that we go through, it draws us into a deeper love from being disappointed the next time. Because see, the devotion began to say, love never fails. The love of Christ never failed. That's what he was trying to show them. Glory to God. But their meaning of salvation was, oh, it's just going to keep us out of hell. But salvation is the true love of Christ. He just didn't give it. He just didn't. They say, well, are you going to kill yourself? But they didn't understand that he was willing to lay his life down in a payment for our sins, glory to God. That he was willing to die. He came with the purpose to die for our sins, glory to God, so that we can now walk in this never failing love, glory to God, that we will know that we, that even when we are wounded, glory to God, that his love is there, glory to God, that his mercy, glory to God, is keeping us, glory to God, from stumbling and struggling and being thankful that we are yet still his children, even when we fall into these things.
Jesus.
But the Pharisees, they did not understand that. They were blind to the light. They were showing up every Sunday for worship and going to Bible study and Sunday school every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, glory to God. But blind to the light, trying to measure the sin of a woman, glory to God. Do you ever find yourself saying, well, you know, it's only a little white lie, or it's only a lie, but that person there is struggling with fornication, and I only told a little lie, trying to measure sin against sin, glory to God. This self-righteousness, this hypocritical state that these people were in. But Jesus was trying to show them, I am the light. You need to come out of the darkness. So you stuck in a place where you think is right. But I came to transform you and show you what it is to be drawn to the light, what it means to be truly in love with the Word of God, because I am the Word, glory to God.
My God.
Do you spend more time talking about what you are against and not what you're for? Glory to God. See, these people here praise to argue. They love to argue. They wanted to turn something so simple into an argument with Jesus. They were trying to convince themselves that they were right when they were wrong, glory to God. Do you ever find yourself trying that you talk against what you're talking about, what you're against and what you are for, glory to God? Your faith is lied more in what you are against than what you should be standing for, glory
to
God. That's what he was telling the people of God. He was trying to show them, you have this form of me. You have this form of my Father, glory to God. But I need you to come into this light, where this light will give you eternal life, not just here on this earth, but it will give you the eternal life, because I am the one, glory to God. If you don't come to me, you won't get to my Father, glory to God. If you not believe and trust in me, you won't never see him. He was trying to show them that they must come out of this legalistic way of thinking that they were. Well, if I don't go out and I don't commit adultery, but I cuss every now and then, it's not the same. They were trying to measure this thing.
My God, my God.
But sin is sin.
Praise God.
I found myself in a state like this. And what was Jesus telling them? Y'all got to repent. So what had to happen? Maggie had to repent. Glory to God. Being so legalistic and self-righteous. Thinking that God actually needed me, that Jesus needed me to be a part of the team, glory to God. Thinking that he depended upon me, glory to God. Not having the right mindset of a believer, a disciple, glory to God. One that trusts in him, one that follows him, one that does not question who he is, glory to God, but one that is willing to follow, one that is willing to worship, one that does not need a question to the not need an answer to the question, glory to God, because they just trust him for what he says he's going to do, for who he says he is. But what role do we play? This is what he was trying to do. You think this woman is lost, but in reality, it's you that is lost.
My God, my God.
He was trying to show them that they were blind, that they were ignorant. Now they're thinking he's going to kill himself. Now they're thinking that he's going to take his life just to take it, but not realizing that his life was a payment for their sins and ours. And we would not see, we would not have this life that they talked about, unless we repent from our sins and trust in him as our Lord and our Savior. This is what he was trying to show them. Then he says, this truth is so important that Jesus used the phrase, shall die in your sins three times. He said it three times. To die in your sins means to die with the burden of one's own sin, and its penalty is enforced by a righteous God. The physical death separates the spirit from the body. The spiritual death separates the spirit from God. How many of us walking spiritually dead now, separated from God? All it takes is to repent and turn from trusting in what we believe is the truth, what we think is right, what we think is trying to weigh sin, trying to say that this ain't right and this is wrong, but turning truly to Christ and trusting and believing in him. All it takes is us for a turn to repent from sin. But to trust in him, you know, unbelief is sin. Doubt is sin. It's the same weight as going out there and laying around. It's the same weight as lying. It's the same weight as it weighs the same as murdering someone, because you say you're serving Christ, but you don't even trust him. I found myself like that. Trying to cover up, not realizing that I was in darkness, just like the Pharisees, walking in unbelief, questioning the Messiah, making every issue an issue, not just trusting that he is the one that keeps us. He is the bread of life. He is the water. He is the light of this world. See, they were more interested in their outward appearance of holiness. They believed holiness, they adorned it on the outward, but their heart was not holy. This is something that we are seeing in the body of Christ. I had never seen so many angry and mean and disgruntled Christians until this election. People who go to church, and whether you were Democrat or Republican, whether you were independent or not, these people just hearts are so bitter and angry, saying that they walk in holiness, but their heart is so separated from God. See, this word exposes this. The word exposes the separation. The word exposes the arrogance. The word exposes you being an opponent of the cross. The word exposes when you are pleasing this world and not him. And who is this word? What is this word? It is the Christ, Jesus the Christ. It exposes when you try to measure your sin against someone else's sin, when you try to condone your hidden things but preach against it in public. It exposes that.
My God. Hallelujah.
Well, Maggie, how can you preach against that, but you falling in this? Glory to God. See, it exposes that thing. And then when you really get in your word, when you really, really fall in love with him for real, like the world would say, glory to God, then that detox begins to come in, and he can cleanse and purge you from those things that you once believed were forms of him, you once believed was the right way, you once believed that you were doing it all so right, but in reality, it was against who he truly was. Now you really understand with your salvation, you're not lost any longer. Because now you see that this thing is real. It was the love that he had for us that allowed him to lay his life down. He wore warn them severely in this, in these verses, how they needed to believe in him. The raw truth is that they rejected him. We don't want to reject him. And he let them know, because you reject me, you shall suffer separation from me eternally. So unbelief, doubt. I'm a doubt now. Not trusting what he says. It causes a separation from him. It causes us to be disconnected from him. It causes us to be opponents of him. It's the absence of faith. It's the absence and the lack. That means there's a deficit somewhere in trusting and believing that he is the one that died to give us life. That his life was the payment for our sins. Do we really believe that? The Lord woke me up some months back, and he said, if the people really believed that I was coming, they would prepare now. They would stay prepared. But we have found ourselves, we have gotten so caught up in this world. Well, what is Biden getting ready? Is he getting ready to give us a stimulus? Is he getting ready to do this? Is he getting ready to do that? And we so caught up in this earthly realm, not realizing when we become sons and daughters of the King, we're not of this world anymore.
Amen.
Our riches are secured in him. Our trust should be secured in him. Our belief should be secured in him. Because now he's given us this vision. The world can't see it. The world thinks we're in a recession. But when you become a child of the King, you're not living in the darkness of the world any longer. You can see the wealth of the kingdom.
Amen.
You can see the riches that are laid up for you in the kingdom.
Amen.
It is totally giving ourselves over to him, not a part. See, the Pharisees gave a part of themselves, a part to be able to quote the word and adorn the flesh like the word, but the heart was separated from the word. They rejected the word. And he tells them, it will separate you from me. And Jesus was letting them know, once that final separation occurs, there is no second chance. We must fall in love with him. He is the only hope for us to gain our eternity in him. We can't get it any other way. I don't care how many executive orders they write. I don't care how many stimulus they send to our accounts, they put on a card, they send in the mail. He is the only way that will give us the real stimulus, the real that will pull us out, that will keep us out of debt, that will keep us out of a lack. And I'm talking spiritual. Glory to God. That will keep us out of trusting in things that cannot, trusting in things that our faith should not rely in. He is the only one. He is the only incentive that will give us the eternity he was trying to explain to them. But they begin to interrogate Jesus about who he was. Even with all the miracles, even with all of the proof, we still question God. Even waking up daily. Well, Lord, you're going to do this? And Lord, you're going to do that? He did the greatest miracle. You woke up.
Praise God.
Not seeing all of the miracles that he performs daily. All of the teachings that we received, they still did not get it. And they were infuriated with him because of their lack of belief, because of their lack of knowledge of who he truly was. So they mad with the one that's telling them that I came to pull you out of that ignorance. I came to pull you out of that darkness. I came to pull you up out of that being separated from me. And now they mad. They big mad. Because their lack of trust in him.
My God.
This thing is serious. It's serious for us to know that we don't want to be separated from God. That our faith and our belief must be secured in him. It is so serious now. You see so many people falling away, falling out of love with him. You see so many people say that they were once believers and they were once transformed to walk in his image and they just walk away from him. Not living up to the standard. You see this now. Christians fighting one another. You see people rejecting the truth now. This is not a time to fall out of love with him. This is not a time to be separated from him. I read a post on Facebook that someone posted that the young lady said, none know. She said, the biggest mistake we make in our life is thinking we have time. She said, we none know. The biggest mistake is to think that you are attached to him, that you are connected in him, that you are secured in him, but yet you are separated from him. That's a mistake. See, the world wants us to focus on everybody else. I focused on everybody's fault, and I did not see my own.
My God.
But when the Lord began to put me on this journey, Maggie, I'm yet still showing you. So you cannot be afraid to go to the Father and say, Lord, I need you to show me what you see.
My God.
See, because we put our mind, we have our mindset to see only what we want to see, like the Pharisees. See, they only saw the wrong of someone else. They didn't see their doubt. They didn't see their self-righteousness. They didn't see how they weighed sin. But when Jesus came to them to show them, they rejected. So when he begins to show you, you don't want to reject it.
My God.
We want to be closer like never before and grafted in. We want to be sealed in the faith. We want to be sealed in his love, his mercy, and his grace. We want to be sealed in that, not separated from it. He was showing them, if you draw closer to me, you'll have the vision. You won't continue to walk in a state of bankruptcy and need a stimulus. Now you won't lack. See, a stimulus is where it pulls you up out of a deficit. But you won't continually need that if you completely trust in me. You completely give yourself over to me. You won't continue to walk in a lack. Now, because you've completely given yourself to me. Sometimes we are more like a Pharisee than not enough like Jesus. It's not the way we need to be. But his grace, his mercy, his love is sufficient for all of us. It catches us and keeps us from stumbling. It shields and it protects us. Because now we are sealed in him. It will cause us not to want to willingly sin. And I'm not just talking about the ones we call little and the ones we call, we don't do the big ones, but yet still fall short to the little ones. But now our heart is truly converted. Our heart is truly a heart of righteousness and holiness. Jeremiah said the heart is wicked. No one knows but him, but God. So when you go to him and you say, Lord, show me my heart. Don't reject it. See, Nicodemus wanted to know. He went to Jesus, and he wanted to know. He was a Pharisee, but he knew that there was something greater. And he wanted to know the truth. So he asked him to begin to explain and show him the truth. We have to come to a place of humility in our walk, to not just want to be churchgoers and say we coined the title of being a Christian, but we need to be discipled in knowing that we are believers. We are children and sons and daughters of the gospel. We have to know that this thing is deeper than us just going to church on Sunday and talking that talk in front of the pastor and living like mess any other time. We must come to him and say, Lord, expose me. Show me so I can truly get this thing right. So I can truly walk like a disciple. Glory to God. Paul was a Pharisee, glory to God. Saul was a Pharisee, glory to God. But it was not until he was on that road to Damascus, glory to God. And he was blinded by the light, glory to God. Oh, my God, my God. He was blinded by the light. That he was able to see the truth. And come up out of a religious state that he was in, unlearning that stuff that he thought was God. Not rejecting the word of God. Quoting, using the word against the word. Glory to God.
My God.
Where he could accept real salvation, the love of him laying his life down, the love of a willing payment for his sin. That's what salvation does. That's what this light does. It gives us vision. Now we can truly, truly see. Now we're not living in deficit any longer. Now we're not bankrupt no longer. Now we're not concerned with the cares of this world, but we are outdoing and reflecting and looking like Christ at all times. It's not just a facade that we put up, and it's not just this mask we put on Sundays and think that the pastor can't see it or our sisters and brothers can't see the true us. But guess what? He sees the true us.
Amen.
He sees the Pharisees that is hidden in the heart.
My God.
He wants to bring us out of this. And into his perfect love. So we will experience the willing love that he showed on the cross for us. He wants us to be able to experience his grace and his mercy. He wants us to be a faithful carrier of his love. And when we are faithful to him, nothing will separate us from him. Nothing, meaning this world can't separate us, no matter who the president can't separate us, no matter who falling away will separate us, when we really fall in love with him. It will cause us to sustain in times like this. It will cause us to draw closer to him, even the more in times like this because of the love. It will transform us even the more. It will keep us, it will be, we will repel sin, glory to God, because now we've been engrafted in this love. We've been sealed in his love. That's what he was trying to show them. You have a form of me, but I want you to have the real me. I want you to have all of me. That's what he was trying to show them. The salvation of Jesus Christ offers transformation to people from a path of sin to a path of righteousness. That's what he was trying to show them. Every word of Jesus is true. Well, we don't have to question him. It is confirmed by God the Father. There's no argument needed. We can't argue the word. We can't argue against the word. It is confirmed. He was trying to show them this. To know Jesus is to know God, for Jesus is God. Because of sin, all believers are separated from God and deserve eternal judgment in hell, but he gives us this salvation, this freedom, this liberty, this love that causes us not to die in sin, to be rescued from death and destruction. He gives us the salvation that he showed on the cross. That we are saved by God from the consequences of our sin, whether they small or big. This is what he was showing them. And we speak the truth about Jesus. And we cannot make people understand it. That is the work of God. We don't have to judge them. All we need to do is speak the truth, walk the truth, eat the truth, live the truth, and he'll do the rest. I thank God for this Sunday school lesson, this entire book, because I was in getting my hair cut on Tuesday. And my barber and I, we begin to talk about, he grew up in church like I did all his life. And he began to talk about legalism. And he said, "What don't you see, prophetess?" And I said, "People are not discipled. People are not followers after Christ. When you are discipled and when you are followers after him, you fall in love with him. You trust him. We find ourselves, what we're finding in this world, people are followers after organizations and political parties and money and jobs and careers, but he is nowhere in the picture. We must turn from that and follow after him so we can be discipled. He discipled everyone. And as we read in the book of John, every fear, every doubt, every unbelief that they had, walking with him, they grew closer. Where it began to, if they left them, it departed them. We don't want to reject the word. We want to be sealed in the word. I released the line to apostles.
Praise God, beloved. Amen. We thank God for this teach. Amen. And I believe that the word of God that came forth through the woman of God on today, amen, was to add value, amen, to our life as we live anew in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe it was to challenge us. Amen. Hallelujah. My God, and where we are, and if we're really walking by faith, believing, amen, or is there a hint of Pharisee in our heart? Amen. Praise God. And it's all right if it is. The reason why I say that is because this word came today, amen, to set you straight. This word came today to deliver you. Amen. My God, this word gives us one more chance to get it right. Praise God. And so I just thank God for the message that came forth today. Jesus, amen, as the light, the illumination, the revelation. Amen. That shows us the Father. Amen. And the love of the Father for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And even as the woman of God was teaching, I was hearing, amen, hallelujah, Jesus, that it doesn't matter what you have done, amen, or how you have doubted, that he loves you anyway, that his grace is enough, amen, hallelujah, to bring you through, to pull you through, beloved, amen. And so we have to keep fighting this good fight of faith. Yes, the enemy will whisper to you, praise God, amen, but we have to know that that word is a lie and that it is not the truth, praise God. We have to be discerners of truth, praise God. And so I don't want to talk the whole time. I want to be, we have 10 minutes before the next service starts, and I would like to know if anyone wants to share what it is that they have received through the Sunday school lesson. How were you encouraged through this lesson? Anyone want to share?
Well, I got encouraged because it's true. Sometimes, you know, feel like a Pharisee. Sometimes I have doubt.
Amen.
Sometimes I have unbelief. But I didn't see that as sin. I just saw that as a feeling. You know, but I know now that that's sin, and I got to go before the Lord, and I have to confess it as sin. And I got encouraged knowing that we do have to press into Christ. We do have to be sealed in him. We do have, these are critical days.
Amen.
And that we need to do all we can, get close to him.
And to Amen.
Be, have that love again with him.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. This was such a fruitful message. Amen. And so, yes, unbelief and doubt, amen, is a sin. That is why the children of Israel, amen, that's why they perished in the wilderness, because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in God's word. Amen. But this word came to build your faith, to increase your faith, to turn you in the direction of Christ, that you can press into Christ. Amen. And so, beloved, we have Spirit and Truth worship at 1 p.m. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we want you, we're going to sign off now. And in 8 minutes, we will be calling back in, for there is a word from the Lord. Amen. Remember the Sunday school lesson when it's released. Amen. Listen to it again. Let it continue to deposit and bring forth the fruit and the virtue from the word in you. Let it build your faith. Let it take you from faith to faith and glory to glory. Amen. Hallelujah. These services are set in place, amen, hallelujah, that you can learn how to walk the path of righteousness, that is here to build your faith, that you don't waver. Amen, hallelujah. We are not to waver in the faith, beloved, amen. So let us hold fast, amen, to the word of God. Hold fast unto Christ, amen, and let us pray more glory, amen, upon the woman of God's life. May God replenish all that she has poured out from her labor, amen, as she studied this lesson and even as she brought it forth. We thank God for Prophetess Margaret Cavanaugh. Amen? Amen. So, Eternal Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship concerning Sunday school. Lord, we thank you for those that have gathered and those that have heard, oh God. Father, we thank you for the deposit of righteousness and the fruit that shall come forth and spring up that has already started, oh God, in your people. We thank you for it now. We thank you for refocusing us that we can focus, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for making it plain, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the grace that we could continue to fight this good fight of faith in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Beloved, you are blessed. Let us go in peace and serve the Lord, and we will see you back on in 6 minutes. agape love.